Yirmiyah Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches. L'chein Koyamar Hashem. Again, Pasuk Yud Ches. Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Yud Ches. L'chein Therefore Koyamar Hashem El Yehoyakim Ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yudah Lo Yisvedu Loi. Hashem here is saying, in punishment for his sins, corruption, the main chait that has been lodged against him by Yirmiyah, by Hashem, is corruption. After the death of his father, the tzaddik Yoshiyahu, Yehoyakim took the throne, and Yehoyakim, well, he wasn't immediately, he took the throne after his brother was, his brother was in office for 3 months. Yehoyachas was king for 3 months, and Paro Necho killed him, because at that point in time, the main superpower was Paro Necho. Paro Necho killed Yoshiyahu, and Paro Necho allowed his son to be melech for 3 months, then he killed him. And then Yehoyakim became the melech. Now, when Yehoyakim became the melech, he was melech for 11 years. And during those 11 years, he felt very secure in his malchus, and he built for himself a magnificent palace. And the pasuk here records that the palace was built with stolen funds. The workers who constructed the palace were not paid. They were fooled into being, they were forced into the labor, they were forced to work. Labor Day, you know, today's Labor Day. Labor Day, good day to talk about this. And they were not paid. They were not paid for their wages, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yoshiyahu, you're a ganef. You're a ganef, your entire malchus is built upon the foundation of gezel, chomos. And even though you think you present yourself to the tzibur as being a tzaddik, he would fast. It was his custom to fast and to take upon himself what the mitzudos called sifugim, afflictions. And he believed that these things would atone for his sins. It was like payoff. I'll do whatever I want, and at the end of the week I'll fast, and all will be forgiven. So next week we can start the cycle all over again.
If you steal money, you give tzedakah.
Exactly. So it's forgiven. I'll keep some of myself, and I'll give some of it away. And if everything is forgiven, and you repeat this cycle again many times. So Hashem said to Yoshiyahu, that I don't go for this business. Your father was a much greater tzaddik. Your father, he was not as accustomed to fast. Your father had good meals, and yet your father, in my eyes, was a much greater tzaddik than you for one very simple reason. He was an honest man. You're a ganef, you're a thief, and therefore you are going to be severely punished. And here the pasuk says some very shocking things about Yehoyakim. L'chein koyamar Hashem Yehoyakim melech ben Yoshiyahu melech Yehuda lo yisvedu lo, when you die, they will not eulogize for you. Now that's unheard of when it comes to a king. Maybe when it comes to the average fellow, you hear all these stories, people by hespedim, the nifter gave a tzava, that there should be no hespedim. But that doesn't work for a king. A king, you give hespedim whether you like it or not, because it's the cover of the malchus. But not for Yehoyakim. And then it goes on here to say some very interesting things. Four times word hoy. Hoyachi, the hoyachos. Woe to my brother, woe to my sister, lo yismedu lo, again we repeat those words, they will not eulogize for him, hoy odoin, the hoy ho do, and woe to his majesty, woe to the master, and woe to the majesty. Now, we'll see in more detail in one moment what those things mean. Pasuk Yutes, and then it says something else very interesting. Kavuras chamor yikover, he will be buried like a donkey. Sochoiv, he will be dragged. Vehashleich, and he will be cast. Mehola, l'sharei Yerushalayim, on the other side of the gate of Yerushalayim. Now, let's see if we get much more detail in the Mesudah Stav at first. Pasuk Yutes. According to the Mitzudos, there are many interpretations for this pasuk. It's all one continuous run-on sentence. What was the normal expression of eulogy? It's a quotation. If we would transplant ourselves in the ancient times and we would go to a funeral, we would note that they had certain standard expressions that were recited at a funeral. And one of these expressions was, Hoy Achi V'Hoy Achos. Okay, they would say, the men would say, Hoyochi, or the male relatives would say, Hoyochi, and the female relatives would say, Hoy, Hoy, Ochois. Look at the Metzudas again. Lo yispidu lo kasha yamus, lo yispidu olav kroivav, loimar, Hoy, ki ochi hoya, u kroivosav lo tispiden, loimar, Hoy, ki hoysa, hoysi loy lo ochois. We were his sisters. This was the expression that was commonly recited at a funeral. Hoy, whoa, he was my brother. Whoa, ochois. We were to him as sisters. See, it's not exactly the same expression. Choy achi, achi means my brother. Achois, we don't say achoisi, achoisi, but rather achois, woe that we were his sisters. So therefore, we have great pain. Now, what would the slave say? Hoyodon, avodov, his servants, lo yismudu loymar hoy ki odon hoyulanu, hoy. Al hoidoi v'hadoroi, woe to his majesty and splendor, Ritzon Eloimar, al malchusoi sha'avda mimenu bimoso, woe to the fact that his malchus has been lost due to his death. So according to the Metzudos, these were common expressions that were recited by relatives, male relatives, female relatives, subjects, and the country. The country would eulogize, woe to us that our master has been lost. Woe to the country that the hoid, hodo, the splendor, the grandeur of the malchus has been diminished due to the death of the king. All of these four expressions will not be recited upon the death of Jehoiakim, because the country will be in a state of chaos. There will be no semblance of malchus due to the churban that is taking place. Pasuk Yutes, they will say, the pasuk goes on to say, he will be buried like a dog, like a donkey. Kavuras chamo yikaver return olaymar, shekmo, just like, what?
It's like, speaking of this expression, we'd say, oh, brother.
Okay, and maybe that's where it comes from. Maybe it's rooted in this pasuk. Kivuras chamor yikaver return olaymar kshukamor shoshlo yikaver hachamor kishiyamus baderech. Just like a donkey is not buried when it dies on the road, aval yaazvu hu shon, they abandon the donkey there. Kain yihye inyan Yehoyakim, so it will be with Yehoyakim ki yolichu begoylo v'yamus baderech. The king will take him into exile. Nebuchadnezzar will come 11 years later and take him into exile, and he will die on the road. The yiyloi kuvura kmo sheyesh lachamor, he'll have the same type of burial that's given to a donkey that dies on the road. Ritzon loymar. Just like a donkey does not have burial, so too there will be no burial to Yehoyakim. They will drag his body and throw it to the side of the road. Migurar umoshloch lehalon, it will be dragged and cast aside. L'sha'arei Yerushalayim mechutz lohem v'lo yikaver kol, will not be buried at all. Okay, so these are the two psukim which describe the death of Yehoyakim, the lack of eulogy, the lack of these four expressions, and the fact that his body will not be buried. It will be no different than a donkey. Let us see Rashi, pasuk yud ches and yud tes. Hoy v'hoy hoydo. Hoy al tif arto. The word hodo, hodo means splendor. Okay, that we explain, that we translate like the Mezudos. There is no Rashi and Pasuk Yud Ches. Let's see the Radak. Pasuk Yud Ches. The Radak, I think, is a little different. L'chein therefore, hoy achi v'hoy achois. Hespeit hakroivin. Kemosha omar hoy adon v'ho hoydo. Okay, so the first interpretation of the Radak is exactly like the Mitzudos Tavid, that the expressions that were commonly said at a funeral by the male and female relatives will not be said, just like the expressions that were said by the servants, the subjects, will not be said. Hoira hespid ha'am, the eich yispidu ala melech. It is being hoira, or it's being hoira that... Not that they don't realize it, but they know they're talking about the Torah. Hoira hespid ha'am ve'eich yispidu ala melech. Ela zohar, over here it's coming to explain, to teach us, This pasuk is coming to teach us something indirectly, how they would eulogize for a king. That's something, if not for this record, we would never know. Yeshu Koyach. Choyro has to be the full service rabbi. What? You're a full service rabbi. A full service rabbi.
Was also one guy I didn't know a guy well, and he was really doing terrible things. He asked me, he whispered in my ear to go and tell him to leave. It was Shabbos, and I said, listen, we're both wearing suits. I'm willing to get dirty. How about you? He was a foot taller than me. He was a big guy. So he laughed and got up and walked out.
That's the east side.
That's right.
Okay, let's go. Hoira means this pasuk is teaching us, incidentally, how they would customarily eulogize people. Hoira hespeit ha'am, what the people would recite, the eich yispedu al hamelech, and how they would eulogize the king. Elo zochar loshen hesped shakrayvim soifdim alo ish. First, we mentioned the expression that was expressed by a relative over the loss of a man. Hoy achi v'al ho isha hoy achos. Now notice over here that according to the mitzudos, he's learning a little. I'm sorry. According to the Ralak, he's learning it a little bit different than the mitzudos. He's saying over here is. The pasuk here is not precise. It's not precise. According to the mitzudos, the pasuk is very precise. Yehoyakim, it would have been expected that when Yehoyakim died, his male relatives would come forward and would say, Hoy Ochi. And his female relatives would come forward and would say, Hoy Ochos. And that has a different meaning. The first meaning is, whoa, he's my brother. And I guess it's not sneers to say, whoa, to say, I'm a... You know, the women did not say they did not say the same expression. They would just, according to themselves, woe that I am his sister. Woe to me that my brother has died. And the way they would express that he is his brother is by saying that I am his sister. According to the Radak, it's not what the pasuk seems to be saying. It seems saying is that we're just teaching you first in general. We're taking this expression and we're borrowing it for the purpose of illustration. That normally when a regular citizen would die, the male relatives and the female relatives would come forward and would say, whoa, this is my brother, or not, and I made a mistake, I don't mean the female relatives, when a woman would die, the relatives would come forward and say, whoa, this woman is my relative. Now that we have that background in what was done to the average citizen, now we can appreciate what was done when the king died. When the king would die, then they would say about the king, whoa, he is our master. The hoy, whoa, hodo, his splendor has been lost from us. But according to the Radak, the first two expressions are not to be taken literally, because here the male relatives and the female relatives would not exactly say these words. Everyone, even the male and the female relatives, would relate to their relative as the king. Everyone would say the words Odoin and Hodo. And when the pasuk here begins with Hoy Achiv, Hoy Achois, this is just an example of what was done for the average person in order for us to get an appreciation of how they would change the expression when it came to the king. Oyomar. Now we come to a different interpretation. Oyomar. Hoy Achois Al Eishes Yehoyakim. That Achos refers to the wife of Yehoyakim, very very specifically. V'yafal pi shelo niskra, even though she was not mentioned. So here, in other words, the wife by a funeral would come forward and she would say these words. Okay, hoida, the splendor, koya koychoy v'hadoro. His tefers. This is the same thing that Rashi said as tefarto. Here he just explains the koychoy v'hadoro, his power and his splendor. Ritzon loymar malchusoy k'moshe tigim yonason vay al malchusay. Woe to the loss of his malchus. V'hahei b'makom rav hakinui. While we're here, is there a hey? Here it says hodo. we would expect the pasuk to say Hey Dalid Vav, because there is a cholam. Why is there a hey? Okay, so that's not a kasha. That's the way these words are written sometimes. So hey mokan vav hakinui, the vav hakinui. The hakinui over here means the vowel. Kinui means the vowel. Kehei oholo, vayet oholo. Avraham pitched her tent. So which, or really, I'm sorry, pitched him. So that's the drush. Avraham pitched his tent. And the question was, if he pitched his tent, the pasuk should say oholo with a vav, not with a hey. So that's the pshat in the chanami. So it's not a difficulty, because sometimes the pasuk uses a hey instead of a vav. Rashi there incidentally says there's a drash. What's the drash? That Avraham first pitched the tent of his wife before he pitched his tent, mishum tznius, that a woman should have a place to go before the man pitched his tent. Okay, the hadom lo, we have similar expressions. Pasuk yutes, he's going to have the kavura of a horse, of a donkey. Ritzon lo emar kamar shachamor lo yikaver, like a donkey is not buried, kein lo yikaver hu soto, he will not be buried. Ki mahu mahu kavura shachamor, what is the burial of a donkey? Sheyis chavu oisol, they drag the donkey, the yashli chuli ashman, they throw the donkey into the garbage. Kein yis chavu nivlas yehoyakim, they will drag the carcass of yehoyakim, the yashli choisol mehol shav yishlam, they'll go and throw it behind the gates of Yerushalayim. Ki mechutz Yerushalayim meis, he died behind the gates of Yerushalayim. Kishohayu moilicham oisol begolus v'pamashni ashenis, when they took him to exile the second time. He was taken to exile twice. The first time the Nebuchadnezzar took him to Babel, but then returned him and appointed him to be the melech, to be his puppet king, to make sure everything is in order. 11 years later, he came back and he took him away and he killed him. And so he took him down. So the second time he would die on the road. The kastim did not allow him to be buried. Okay, now there are a lot of mafarshim here. And now, first of all, there's one important interpretation that when it says hoy achiv hoy achois hoy adoin v'hoy hoyda, it means a different interpretation means that people will be ashamed that they were his relative. In other words, he will die with such a bad reputation, people will disown him. When the relatives, when they'll come and they'll say, are you his relative? Are you his brother? Are you his sister? They'll say, no. We have nothing to do with him. What do you mean? It says here on the birth certificate that you're his brother. You must be mistaken. Don't associate me with that man, that wicked man. Don't associate me with the women would say, don't associate me with this person. That's how bad his reputation will be. And likewise, the people will be ashamed. This was our king. This was our master. This was the splendor of the Malchus. People will be ashamed to associate with such a person. So this is a third approach to explain this very interesting pasuk. Sachako, we really have over here three different mahalchim in what it means. Hoy achi, hoy achois, hoy adoin, hoy hoyda. Either it means this was literally what was recited at his, what would be expected to be recited at his funeral, and that is a very fascinating insight into the way they lived. Today, today you go to a funeral, Rahman will say, go to a funeral. I mean, obviously, that would, the standards and the style and the derech, the protocols of a funeral today are very different. I mean, it depends on the culture. Even to talk about the difference between America and Eretz Yisrael. Thank you very much. You've ever been to a funeral in Eretz Yisrael? It's very different. Okay, they stand around. A lot of funerals in Eretz Yisrael. It's not like today. In America, it's much more about kavodik. You know, you go to a chapel, and everyone's sitting. And today they even have a machitza in the chapel.
Do you have graveside?
Yeah, of course. They always have graveside. They always have, but
they
have what? No, they do have. They do have chapels.
Now. They have.
In Beis Shemesh. That's unique. In Beis Shemesh, they have a very nice chapel there. They have a chapel in the cemetery. The funeral takes place, it seems, in the cemetery. You go to the cemetery in Lakewood. They have a chapel in the cemetery.
In the middle of the cemetery. Basically, you take the mace out and right over.
Right there is the, okay.
100 feet away, you bury it.
Is very okay.
Sense that they don't have, they make the levites in the shul.
In the shul. That's not so simple.
Right.
That's the whole shiloh. Okay, the whole shiloh, if you gotta make it in the shul. I mean, you make it tonight. If you make a shul anyway, to build all tonight and they use it for club meetings, so but a lot of places in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have chapels. They just stand around. They stand there, they don't even sit down. they stand around and someone speaks. It's a different standard. It's a different culture. It's a different culture. America, obviously, is very different. I mean, it all depends where it is. So what was it like in ancient times at a funeral? So we get different insights. We learn they were male professionals. They were professional people that would sing, that would make noise. They had drums. They would clap with drums. So here we have another bit of information, insight into what they did. We have an actual quotation of what exactly they would say. Hoy achi v'hoy achos, hoy adon v'hoy, hoy da. They were expressions. That's at least what the Radak says, that's what the Metzudah says, but according to the other interpretations, that's not what it means over here. This over here is not an expression of eulogy. It's not an expression of lament. This is just the aftermath. When the funeral was over and he was buried, and when the IRS is coming to go and settle all the claims and the estate taxes, and they want to talk to the relatives, people are running away. Oh, we're not related, I guess, because Yoshiyahu owed a lot of money. He had all these people that he owed money to. He went and he fooled them into working for him, and they now the workers finally came. Okay, it's time for compensation. Where are you owe us money? They went to the wife, they went to the children, they went to the relatives. Pay up. We're not related. Don't seize our assets. It's not our problem. And I guess maybe other governments, when they came, okay, they want to settle the score with this malchus. Don't associate us with the king, because we have no responsibility to his debts and his claims. Okay, that's the basic shot. Now there is a very key. It's not shaykh to go through these sigmas without reviewing a very, very famous chazal, which I'm sure you've all heard about the death of. You hear about this on Tisha B'Av, and the king is in Tisha B'Av, where they talk about this, about Yehoyakim. What happened to his skull? Pasuk here. No, let me. I didn't get. Okay, let's give me 1 second. Turn to the Medrash. The best thing is for you to read it inside, word for word. Okay, it says here. Okay, let's do this Medrash first. Gemara. It's not a Medrash. It's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, and Daf Pei Beis. The Gemara is a question. What does it mean here, the burial of a donkey? A donkey is never buried. Ella, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avuya. Rabbi Chiya bar Avuya explains as follows. Kasuv, it's written, Al Gulgoltoi Shel Yehoyakim Zos V'Oracheres. I don't know what that means exactly. It was written, it was inscribed, tattooed on his skull. Someone wrote the word Zos. There is this. There's more punishment yet to come to the skull of, to the body, the remains of Yehoyakim. Now, what is that referring to? Tells the following story. Zakenu de Rabbi Perida, the grandfather of Rabbi Perida, who Rabbi Chiya bar Avuya. I guess he was a Tana. So we're dealing here, has to be at least about 500 years after the death of Yehoyakim. Now, how long do bones, skulls remain? How long can a skeleton remain before it turns into dust? I'm just curious to know if this is a miracle. We are faster than a million years old. I guess if you have the right conditions, you have the right environmental conditions, it can last for a very, very long time, so it's not necessarily a miracle. Depends how cold. Okay, so it's not necessarily a miracle that a bone, that a skull of a human body can last for 500 years. Because over here, it would seem in the context of this chazal, it was at least 500 years since the death of Yehoyakim. And this fellow, he found lying in the street, he was walking in the street, he saw behind some alleyway, he saw a skull of a human being. Ashkachahu gulgalto dahavish shadya b'sharei Yerushalayim. He saw the skull of a human being that was lying along the gates of Yerushalayim. Fahavik sivalohi, and it was etched into the skull. Someone took a pen and they took ink and they wrote on the skull itself the words Zois v'oid acheres. This, and there's more yet to come. So the person, Rabbi Chiya, did not know what to make of it. He saw a dead skull. I guess the Makbid man, these are in Tumah v'Tahara. A skull is Metame Tumas Oil Hames. So he buried it. Kavre, he buried it in the local cemetery. And Lomo Vahadar Nivag. Nivag is an unusual word which means it broke forth. He came back a week later, and look at that, the skull is lying on the street once again. Somehow it has no mazel. The skull, a dog dug it up, or maybe some supernatural thing happened. The skull came out of the grave once again, was again once again lying on the street. So he buried it again. He buried it again. And you know, Kavre Vahadar Nivug. He buried in Nachmal. He came back a week later and there it was. It was lying on the street again. So he said, this skull, there must be a story behind this skull, why it has such bad mazel. It was never buried. And now when I buried it, it came up again. And a third time it came up again. Amar, he said, it must be Hai Gugalta Shel Yehoyakim. It must be, and I don't know how he knew this, that this is the skull of Yehoyakim, the Melech of Yisrael, of Yehuda. Could you imagine such a thing? The skull of the king of the uncle of David, the third to last king of Klal Yisrael, must be his skull. How do I know? Because that's why it has such bad mazel. The Chassidut says, Kvuras Chamor Yikaver, because they quoted this pasuk. He quoted this pasuk like a donkey. A donkey skull, a donkey never gets buried, lies in the street until it decays, so too. That's why this thing has no mazel, it's not going to get buried. Omar, he said, listen, It's no burials, but at least let me put it away in the Bakovadik away. Let me put it away in a box. Let me take it home. It's not going to have burial, but at the very least, it should not lie around bimutal bibizoyon, because Yehoyakim was a king. He was the descendant of David HaMelech. At least it deserves some respect. Omar, he said, Malkuhu v'lav or charetz, not der charetz levazuye, to disgrace it. So what did he do? Shakla, he took it. Karche b'shiroi, he wrapped it in silk. And the oisave b'tifsa, he put it in a box in his house. He went to Koilel, and his wife comes home from a hard day of work, and she comes, opens up the cabinet, she sees this beautiful box, and she probably thinks, well, my husband is such a good husband, he went and he bought me an anniversary gift. Beside his wife comes home, Chazita, she sees, she opens up the silk expecting to find the who knows what, and she sees there a skull. Nofkas, Amara, Luhu Lishavavusa, she calls her next door neighbor, and they all, they're shocked, what in the world, this husband of hers is living a double life. So they go online, they Google him, the husband, and Taka, they find. They go and, you know, they have all these things, search records, criminal records, pay a couple bucks. They go and we'll give you all the history of the criminal records, and lo and behold, they discover that this man that she married, the Shatran didn't tell her all of the information. She was married once before. Her husband was married once before. Shocking revelation. What happened to the first wife? Well, she's no longer among the living. Either she was murdered, or she died. Like, you know, I told you the story once, there was someone who they were married for 60, 70 years. Can you imagine? They married 70 years, and they had an anniversary party, 70th year anniversary. She's 100 years old, less than 90 years old. And they interviewed the wife, and they said, tell me, what's the secret to your marriage? How did it last for 70 years? During those 70 years of marriage, did you ever once think about divorce? And the wife bangs on the table, never in 70 years did I ever even contemplate divorcing my husband. Murder? That's something else. Okay, so we have over here the skull Amrila. Hi, the itisak kamaisai. So they figured out that it must be the skull of this man's, Rabbi Chiya's first wife. What else would he be doing with in his home with a skull wrapped up in silk, the most expensive material in those days? So what did they do? So she was furious. The second wife, was furious that her husband is still thinking about his first wife. She cannot forget her. So she took it, latanura, she took the skull and threw the skull into the furnace, turned it into dust, fakalse, and burnt it on fire, satanu. When he came home, he asked, what happened to the box? Omar. So she said, I figured out the whole story. You didn't tell me. You were once married. You had a wife. And this is her skull. So I burnt it. I was so angry. Omar, so I prayed this. So he said, ah, now I know why it's said on the skull, Zois v'oid acheres. It was meant to be another churban. It wasn't bad enough that for 500 years it was lying around in this filthy, dirty street, but it was yet to suffer another fate, the fate that it would be burnt to a crisp, to dust. Haynu d'chsev alohi Zois v'oid acheres. So this was the curse. The curse of Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim's skull was incredible. What it says over here, what was cursed. Now, what about his body? What about his flesh? So there are a number of midrashim, Vayikra Rabbah, Seder Olam, and it says here that his body was the burial of a donkey. So some say what it means is that Yehoyakim, he buried his body in a donkey. As a way of disgrace, and we learn Pasha Pshat is that he died. They were on the road. He died, so his body was smelling up the cabin. So the driver said, "Just throw the body off the road. Get the body out of here. Shouldn't stink up the cabin of the local Odif." So they just threw it off onto the side of the road. That's Pasha Pshat. But the Medrash says is that he took his body and they took a donkey, they cut open the donkey and they put his body in the donkey. In the donkey. I guess he was a small person. Maybe a dog. I don't know. They put the body in the donkey. And that's how they buried as a way. That's a way of disgracing the person. It is a covet for the human body to be returned to the earth. But when you take a body and you put a body in a donkey, and the donkey is going to serve as the mausoleum, so to speak, of that's a disgrace. And Nebuchadnezzar did this bedafka. He did this lachakis in order to disgrace the body, the king of the melech. The Melech of Yehuda. Another interpretation is he cut up pieces. Every so often, even when he was alive, it seems he cut parts of his flesh and he fed it to the dogs. Dogs enjoy donkey meat. I'm not a bucky. I don't know if they sell this, and they sell this in the go to the supermarket and read the ingredients on dog food. But it seems in ancient times it was a very popular dog food to feed the dogs donkey meat. So he did this.
What? So same thing, I guess. They give dog or horse meat, they say, so maybe it's the same thing.
They give donkey meat. So it says, Kivras Susim Kivrasam, which means that just like a donkey, how is a donkey buried? You don't just waste a donkey's flesh, it's good meat. You might as well feed it to the dogs. Dogs also need to eat. So that's going to be the type of burial that Yehoyakim would have. His flesh will be fed to dogs. The same way the flesh of a donkey is fed to dogs. So where is the donkey buried? A donkey is buried in the stomach of a dog. So too Yehoyakim's flesh was buried in the stomach of a dog like a donkey. So we learn over here some very frightening things happened to his skull, and what happened for 500 years lying around in the dirty street until it was burnt. And we learn what happened to his flesh. Either the whole body was put into a donkey, or it means that his body was fed to dogs. And what was his sin? His sin was is corruption. He was not an honest person. He hired workers and did not pay. It's a very frightening thing. This happens all the time. A person works. What? It's labor. Exactly. Very, very appropriate. It's very hashkacha pratis to learn this on Labor Day. Nothing is a coincidence. Is how important it is that a person works. The person has to be paid what you agree to pay him. You have a worker. It's not a davar pashut at all. Okay, that concludes the section. Now we continue into the next section, which it's describing. It is a really more of a general description. It's not really describing Yehoyakim, but it's describing a general description of Luchum Beis HaMikdash. Ali Halavanan Utsaki. The Levadan, which is an expression which refers to the Beis HaMikdash, or refers to the Yerushalayim, or refers to Eretz Yisrael, rise up, the Utse Oki, and cry out in a state of mourning. Uva Boshon Tnikodach. These are the same two expressions that we had before. We had this a couple of psukim back, the same exact two locations. The Boshon, we had really, you know, we had Gilad also, we had a third one in before Gilad, Bashan, and Levanon. Here, for whatever reason, we only have two. Levanon, Utsaki, Uva Bashan, Tnikalech, Tzaki, and call out. Tzaki, Pasikhof. What about the Pasikhof? Ali halavanu utzaaki uvaboshen tnikolech vitzakolech vitzaaki ne avorim and cry out on all sides. In other words, cry out on the east, the west, the north, the south. Ki nishpelu kol mehavoich. All of your loved ones have been crushed. All the ones that you've cherished. I'm sorry. Mehavoich of your acquaintance. The mesulis means the god that you loved, that you thought would come to your protection. Specifically, Mitzrayim and Ashur, they have been crushed, they have been destroyed, and there's no one to come to your rescue. Let's see the Mitzvah of Pasuk, Pasuk Chaf. Ali Halavonan, Ali El Har Halavonan, Vitzaki, Laman Yeh Nishma HaKol L'Rachak. Okay, the simple Pshat interpretation is, go up to the highest location in Eretz Yisrael, the Levonan, and cry out, so your voice can be heard throughout the entire world. Uva Boshan, Al Hori Boshan, Harim Yes Kolech, on the high mountains, on your tests? I did, yeah. I think maybe before you came?
Yeah.
Maybe before you
came. Before you came, because we did the entire thing. We did all three. We did all three.
Okay.
Okay, then that's what. So Levon, go up to Levonon, Ali Levon, Ali Al Har Levon, Vitzaki Levon, Yeh Nishma Hakol Lebracha. Vaboshen Ali Al Har Boshen Harim Yes Kolech Vitzaki B'chol Eiver U'Bechol Tzad. Go up to Boshen and cry out on all sides. That means Ma'avorim. Ki Nishpuru Kol Me'avoy. Who the Me'avoy? According to the Masudas, refers to the Goyim. Ho'akum Shehayu L'chol Le'Ezra. Who are the two nations that in the time of the Korban that Klaus shall put their confidence in, they will come to the rescue? We have this many times. Vehem Ashur Umitzrayim. Gam Hemon Nishburu Ayin Nebuchadnezzar. They will be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, so no one will be able to come to your rescue. Umi'ata lo timsa Oizrim, no one will come to your rescue. Rashi on Pasek Chof, Ali Halavan Utsaki, Saki Leves Makdesha Utsvoche. Go up to the base Hamikdash. Notice Rashi here is drawing from the Targum that the Levonon is a code word for the base Hamikdash. It's Malbin, it whitens the sins of Klal Yisrael. Uva Basha and Tini Koilech and go to Basha and raise a divorce, Allah Basha and Sheikhareif. Cry, not like the Mitsudos that translates ascend to the high mountains of the Boshan cry, but the Boshan should cry. The Boshan, cry concerning the loss of Boshan, the fact that the land is going to be bottle. Al HaBoshan Sheyichoreth, the innocent here game, Uvisare Tur Besa, in the gates of the mountain of the bias. Now I don't know. He writes over here. Rashi writes for any of the Lefarish. What does that mean? It doesn't make any sense. What does it mean over here in the gates of the mountain of the house? What does the Targum mean with these words? These very very strange words.
No, I think Rashi's just questioning how does it get that from the word
Boshan. Base, okay. Boshan, Boshan, Meshari Harbais, the gates of the Harbais. Where does Boshan come in Meshari Harbais? So the still means the gates of the mountain of the Bais. Cry out, Tur means the mountain. Tur is the mountain, and Tar means the gates and the base. So cry out by the mount. So what does that mean exactly? Any deal for Sheikh, Nofel, Loshan, Boshan, Meshari Harbais, the gates of the Harbais. Maybe what it means is the doors were made from the aloin. Aloin is a certain type of wood. Very expensive wood which came from the Boshan. Maybe that's what it means. For whose shame Mokam is the name of a place. It's a name of it's a very wide valley. Kain Hekif Harabayis. Boshan is not a location. It's a term it's a borrowed expression. Just like on the Aver Hayardin, the Boshan was an area that was an open plain. Likewise, the Har Habayis resembled this type of topology. It was an open plain. They surround the Harabayis. Migrash means an open area. Revach, a very wide open area. Yulabes Hamigrash. Next, Vitzaki may avorim, cry out on all sides. Utzvachi al megizta vehein l'shoy mokam, cry out on the sides. Megizta loshon of the sides. Okay, cry out on all sides. Let's see the Radak. Pasuk Yutes. Pasuk Chaf. Ali halavanan. Omar k'neged yesh l'cho eizim yikol mahavoyich. According to the Radak, we're referring to the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk refers to all of your lovers. Who are your lovers? This refers to allies, Asher and Mitzrayim. Sheheim, Asher and Mitzrayim, Shehoyisa, Boitachas, Bohem, you had confidence in them, Visolakta, Bitchoincha, Mimeni. And you have abandoned your faith in me, Hashem says. Ata now, Kisheba, Shivrech, when your destruction comes, Tzaki Lohem. You know, why don't, here we're being sarcastic. We're being sarcastic. Why don't you go cry out to the Levanon, to your defense, your allies? Tzaki Lohem, Im Yoshiucha. Let's see if they'll come to your aid. Kigam Lohem Bo Shever. And you know what? They're not going to come so quickly because they're also destroyed. Ki melech Ashur nishbar. That's already old news. Melech Ashur already has been broken. Umitzrayim gam kein nishbu ayidei Nebuchadnezzar bimei Yehoyakim. And the Mitzrayim also has been destroyed from Nebuchadnezzar in the days of Yehoyakim. And that's coming soon. K'moy she'amar v'loy hoysef oy melech Mitzrayim latzeitz mi'ar. So like we learn later on, he was no longer going from his land because he's going to be destroyed. So according to the Mitzvah Radak, the pasuk over here is being sarcastic. We have really so far three different interpretations of what it means, Ali Halavonan Utsuaki. Uvaboshan Tini Koilech Vitsaki. According to the Mitsudos, the still interpretation is just an expression. Go to the top of the mountains, the highest mountains in the Eretz Yisrael, and cry. So everyone should hear you cry. Nothing more than that. Very, very simple. Go to the highest location, cry out, and your voice will be heard. According to Rashi, it means go and cry out over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Or, is that really precise? Ali Tzaki, Tzaki Leveis Mikdasho Tzvachi. Tzaki means go ascend. It means ascend to the Beis and cry. Either it means cry about the loss of the Beis HaMikdash or go and cry in the Beis HaMikdash, but it refers to the Beis HaMikdash and the Har HaBayis. The Boshan is the Har HaBayis, which is a flat-lying area like the Boshan or the doors that were made from the wood, the Aloimin that come from the Boshan. And according to the Radak, Levanon and Boshan is a code word, it's a metaphor for the mighty allies of the Jewish people, Ashur and Mitzrayim. Why don't you go cry to them? See if they'll come and they'll help you out, if they'll be of any assistance to you in your time of tzara. Okay, now we go to the next section, is the Ma'avorim, the sides, Me'avorim, the Radak. Mikol Eiver, Mikol Tzad, Gam Kein Tzaki, go cry on all different sides, Uiki lo yo ilucha, you will see, Ki Nishbu, Mikol Me'avoyuch, all of your allies are destroyed. There's no one that's going to be able to come to your aid. The other some tear game is Saki Lebes Mikdashov Tzvachi, Vesari Tor Beisa, Hari Mikolech. Tear game Levonon Beis Mikdashah. He translates the word Levon as the Beis HaMikdash. Kumoicha tear game Unkulisa Hor Hatov Hazeva HaLevonon. In Parshas Veschanan, Ubeis Mikdashah, there he translates Levon as the Beis HaMikdash. Vachin Parashur Abbasin Zachon Levracha, Vyomar Vulomikolish Beis HaMikdash Levonon, Shahoy Malbin Avonasim Shel Yisrael, it whitened the sins of Klal Yisrael. Aval Uva Boshan Shatirgim Uvisroi Turbesa, the gates of the mountain of the house, Lo Yodati Tam. He says exactly what Rashi says. Ulai Kina Harabayis Vishen Boshan Lufisha Boshan Yemoka Mira Habehemos was a place where people would pasture the animals. Uvesa Migdash Gamkin Hoyutame Behemos Lukarban. Not like what Rashi said, that it's an area that's a revach, a migrosh, an open area, but it means animals. Just like Boshan was a place where a lot of animals were to be found, so to the Harbayis, there were always animals roaming around the Harbayis. People were bringing and preparing them for the slaughter for korbanos. You're not allowed to be megadel behemadaka. But you have to bring it. You can't raise and feed and pasture, but you're allowed, of course, that's what they grow. So that will be very interesting how we tie this Boshan, the Harbai is called Boshan because of all the animals that were frequented this location. Pasuk of Aleph. Dibarti Eilayich B'shalva. Sayach Hashem over here is coming to say here, I told you so. I told you so. You didn't listen to me. Dibarti lach b'shalvasech. I spoke to you during your days of tranquility. Amarti. I said, loy eshma. But you said, loy eshma. But when I told you that it's going to happen, you said, I'm not going to listen. Zedakech menuraich. Hashem says, yeah, what else is new? What else is new? This is the way you've been from your earliest youth. Ki lo shamat b'koli. You never listened to me. I warned you this would happen in your days of tranquility. You say you're not going to listen. And that's all the way you've been from time immemorial. Pasuk HaBeis. Kol rayayich tereruach. All of your, here is going to be part of the punishment, all of your shepherds will be blasted by the wind. In other words, all of your, the rayayich, refers to the tzaddikim and refers to different interpretations. According to the Rebbe Metzudas, it refers to your allies. Again, we're going back to your lovers, your allies. Kol Ro'ayach, we'll learn like that for right now. All of your friends, Asher, Mitzrayim, Teruch, will be blasted by the wind. They'll be blown away by the wind. U'me'ahavayich, and your lovers, Bashvi Yelechu, will be taken into captivity. Ki Oz. And when that happens, you will finally be put to shame for all of your sins. Pasuk of Gimel, Yoshaft ba'Levanon, you who dwell in the Levanon, Mikunant ba'Arazim, you who are nested, Lashon of a cane, a nest, in the cedars, Ma Nechant. Bevoid, now this is a very hard word. Nechand, we're going to translate from the Roman Lashon of chain. Chain means grace, kindness. Ma nechand, what kindness will you possess? Bevoi la chavolim, when comes upon you pain, birth pangs, pain, and not just pangs, but chil kayoled, the worst type of pangs. The worst type of pain in Chazal are not kidney stones, but are birth pangs. So what type of chain, what type of grace are you going to possess on the day of reckoning when you are going to be tortured and suffer? Okay, let's see these three psukim together. Pasuk Chaf Aleph in the Mesudos David, B'shalva Saich Hashem says, I told you so. In the good old days when you were living in tranquility, Oid hayisa yashabes b'shalva dibarti elecha l'shuv elai. I begged you, do tshuva. V'ato amarta. And how did you respond? You said, loy eshma, loy. Loy mitin aleph. Zeh darkech. Hashem says, it's nothing new. This is the day that came darkech mi'oz b'charticha li l'om. From the day I've selected you as my chosen people, you always refuse. Ki mi'odom l'shamat b'kol, you never listen to my voice. Kol rayayich. All of your friends, or here Royach really means your shepherds. If you look in the Mitzudos Tzion, he translates Chavbeis, there's no translation. There's no translation. Royach Ashur Umitzrayim. Ke Ashur Umitzrayim Shachoyu Royim Umanhigim Oisach. They were your shepherds and they were your Umanhigim Oisach. They would guide you. Yeshaver Oisam Haruach, the wind will crush them. Who's the wind of here? Zal Nebuchadnezzar, Yavarki, who Yeshavim, he will destroy you. Umehavayich, and your lovers, Heim Ashur Mitzrayim, the Kafal Deb Bemilim Shonas, we repeat this multiple times. Ki Oz, Kasha Yelchu Heima Beshevi, when they go into exile, Tashvoishi, you will be ashamed. Mikol Roasech Asher Azavtis Hashem Buvatachta Alehem, you will be put to shame that you have put your confidence in them instead of put your confidence in me. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Yeshaves Balavonon, Ata Yisrael HaYeshaves Balavonon, you Klal Yisrael HaLuv Balavonon, V'choz HaPerush Mimukunat Barazim, and now there's poetic repetition, you my people who are nested, your nest is in the mighty cedar trees of the cedar trees, Ritzon Eloymar, Yeshaves B'botei Atzei Arze Arze Halvan, you who live in the homes that are built with mighty cedars, could also refer to the Beis HaMikdash, Ma, now here's the hard word, Ma Nechant, Mahu Hachain, what is the grace Asher Timsa Bizeh, what chain will it be to you the fact that you live in beautiful homes? You have a Beis Hamikdash, you have the Atzeh Halavonon, you have the Arozim, and the Levonon. Normally these are things which bring upon a person chain. The Levonon and the Arozim, whether it refers to your physical homes or refers to your spiritual home, this is the source of your grace. But all of this will be worthless to you on the day of reckoning. When comes upon you pain, the chil kayalel, birth pangs like a yaleder, it's an alayma arvachi, bavurzeh, timsachin beinei ha'if. Do you think this is going to provide you chain when the enemy comes for you? It's not going to make any bit of a difference. Let's see the three psukim in Rashi. Beshalva sayich, kishahayisa beshalva. I warn you when you were in tranquility. Kol royayich. Kol Malkayich. So here he says over here, all of your kings, Tir Ruach Kodim, Tiroitzam, will smash them. According to Rashi appears to say that this refers to the Jewish kings, where Ayich does not refer to your lovers, your friends, which refers to the Umos Olam, which are your kings. So Rashi is focusing these words on the Jewish leaders. All of your leaders will be broken when Nebuchadnezzar arises. So Mahavai, but I assume he also assumes that the Mahavai, your lovers, means those who loved you, your tzaddikim, your neviim, all of the people that looked out for your welfare, when the enemy comes, will be destroyed due to your sins. Pasuk of Gimel, you who are established, your shaft in the Levonon, you who are nested, nikunant v'arozim, nikunant v'arozim, Shesomcha, you have set kincha, your nest, b'migdolois, in towers, bote arozim livonois, livnois bote midos, it's homes of cedar, to build massively large homes, bote midos, ma nechant, you're not going to find any chain. Your beautiful mansions are not going to have any chain. In the eyes of your plunderers, and the birth pangs come upon you. Now, chania means to dwell. Chania. Okay, I assume means chani means encampment. I guess it's like a play on the words. Once we're focusing on your shaft and mukunant, so once those words which mean dwelling and nesting, so now the pasuk says manechant chania. What good will your residence, your dwelling, be for you in these mighty, mighty dwellings when the day of reckoning comes? So he translates the word nechan not meloshon chen, but meloshon chania, of encampment. The security of having a place to live will be of no value when you will go into exile. Avol dunash pasa oisa loshon chen. Okay, that concludes Rashi. Let's see the Radak pasuk chof aleph. Dibarti elecha b'shalva sach. I spoke to you in your days of tranquility. Amar b'loshon rabin. Why does it say b'shalva sayich? Why doesn't it say b'shalva? The bar will be the singular. B'shalva. So why does it say b'shalva sayich? Because there were multiple tkufas when the Jewish people were in a state of tranquility. Hakel al yideh nevim v'loy hayil. Hashem always gave them rebuke through the prophets, but never made a difference. Minurayich writes a loymar dor hamidbar. This problem goes all the way back dor hamidbar. Shohayil ham kimei hanurim ki tchilas hakachilas he koneis uma ba'avodas hakel uvemitzvayisav hoya hador hahu. The very first time when Klaus entered the covenant was the dor hamidbar. The kindness of your youth. Okay, so we go. Hashem says, Dor HaMidbar. From the very beginning, the Chet HaEgel, the Chet HaMeraglim, the Misoinanim, all of the various sins. You angered Hashem 10 times in the desert. Kol Re'ayich Tire Ruach. All of your shepherds will be blasted by the wind. Kitargumai, Shel Parnosayich, all of your leaders, similarly refers to the Jewish leaders. Ritzon Elaimar, he's saying that. Parnasach, Parnasach means your leaders. And who are the Parnasim, your leaders? The ones that provided you with support. So according to the Radak, he's learning like in the Mitsudos, we are referring to Ashur and Mitzrayim. Ritzon Elaimar, Malchei Ashur and Mitzrayim, Shahayu Lechem, Kiparnosim, Ucheroyim, Aysam, they were like your Parnasim and your shepherds, Aysam. Tire ruach. What does it mean, tire? Tire means to eat, to graze. The wind will graze. In other words, the wind will consume you. To ochleim haruach. Kloimar, sheyishmiru kel kal. You'll be broken swiftly. Kal mehera. Kilu haruach hadicha masam, as if the wind blew them away. Targum yonason yisbadrun. They will be blown away. Blown away l'chol ruach to all sides. Ki oz tevoshi. At that point in time, you will be put to shame. Ki sheyichle bit choynech. When your bitachon, when your confidence has been destroyed, you will be put to shame. Pasuk Gimel Gimel. Yeshavis balvonon mikoynant barazim. Yoshaft and mikunant biyud yisera. This is a kri yichsef. In these two words, there is an extra yud at the end of the word, which is not pronounced. Bichsav v'loy b'mevate, but now what is expressed? The nim says yisera gam b'mevate, so it comes out that the word is actually when it's pronounced. Oyhavti, for example, oyhavti lodush mileasi mishpat u'shtei hamilos ha'ela amu shehin mukavois yoshaft min yosheves. Min yosheves v'yosheves, mikunant min mikanenes u'mikoinenes. V'tam ha'harkava retzolaymar sheyosheves v'koinenes mikedem. The explanation over here is, when you have this type of expression, yoshaft, this form, okay, this form of yoshaft and mikunant, it has a connotation, not that just you are dwelling here from now, but the connotation of this form indicates that you've been around here for a very, very long time.
So it's a combination of present and past.
Present and past. Okay, very good. The koinenes mikedem, the gam ato at yeshavas umikoinant, ki adayin hoyu bi'eret shayim yuchestas to Levonon. You're still living in the land that relates to Levonon. V'zoch Levonon v'arazim lufi shayu bote agdoil b'yushlaim sefunim v'eretz kibes hamelach. We're referring to the major palaces in Yerushalayim that were paneled or that were sheltered with ceilings like the palace with arazim. K'mo shama we had aliyoyokim, like we had only on Friday we learned the sofun bo'erez, that his palace was ceilinged, had a ceiling of cedar wood. Ma nechant, ma nechant means ikroi nechenenes. The shoyresh of this word nechant is nechanenes. And what is nechanenes? Nechanenes means what grace will you possess when the enemy comes to destroy you? It won't make a difference. And this expression can mean two things, either for its benefit or its detriment. Lamala kmoi mo rav tuvcha mayokar chastcha elokim ulichesar. The word is in the word mo. I'm sorry, the word ma. The word ma that precedes. The word ma, nechant, that precedes it, can go both ways. Can both go positive and negative. So we have, for example, my ma rav tuvcha. Ma yoker chastucha, Elokim. Ulechesaron is ma enosh kisis karenu. What benefit is for the negative, what benefit is going to be when all of the tsaros come upon you? Okay, this reminds me, we spoke about when we did the kiddush, reminds me, is that the word ma is used both for Pesach and for, it's the opening word for Pesach and the opening word for the kinos. What do I mean? On Pesach, how do you begin the Haggadah? Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylos. Ma doesn't mean why. The Baal Haggadah does not say, doesn't say madua nishtana halayla hazeh. It doesn't say lama. Ma nishtana. Look how powerful. How does the kinnis begin? The kinnis really begins with the Haftarah. Al-Law of the Haaretz. The whole kinnus is coming to address this question. Al-Law of the Haaretz. Because we did not appreciate the Torah. That's what the kinnus really comes to address. So the kinnus is in response to Ma. Al-Law. Hashem is this. Al-Law of the Haaretz. Dov is then Shalom l'chachomim to the Nevim, to the Malachi HaShareis, and no one knew the answer. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give the answer. So the question of the day is, Al-Law of the Haaretz. The question of Pesach is, no?
The example you gave earlier, isn't it more Rav Tuv Ka Asher Tzafan Shavariyatma?
More Rav Tuv Ka Asher Tzafan Ta... What do you mean? That's the positive. The Radak quoted.
That's not what...
That's a positive. The Radak is just saying the word ma sometimes... No, ma and ma are the same thing. There's no difference whether it's a komatz or a patach.
No, I thought you were differentiating it. One is positive.
No. Yeah, no, the Radak says the word ma is coming to express, coming to bring out either something very positive or something very negative. Ma rav tuvcha. What? A more Rav Tuvcha. I'm not differentiating between a komatz and a patach. That's a grammatical technicality. Is it a ma or is it a ma? But the word the Radak is saying, the word ma or ma is coming to express either something good, to magnify the good, or it's coming to magnify the bad. More Rav Tuvcha. He gives different examples. And here in this pasuk, you have ma nechant bevoylecho chavolim kayoleda. It's the negative. We're coming over here to magnify the tsar, the churban that's going to come upon Klal Yisrael when the enemy comes. So you see over here, there's a very interesting radak. He takes the word ma and he shows that ma can be a word of introduction that magnifies either something very positive or something very negative.
So
I just
used it. Ma betzavidamik. What was it?
My bet sabe, what profit is there in my blood? It's going to be a great tragedy. My bet sabe dami, it's coming to magnify the tragedy. You want to take my life? What you want to do something? It's a magnification. The word maz is always a magnification of the subject. Ma by definition means. Ma means
what?
What gain will there be in my death? What gain will there be in my death? Hashem, don't just let me die. What are you going to gain out of this? So it's a magnification of what are you doing? What do you look at what you're doing? When you analyze what you're doing, you realize it doesn't make any sense, and you'll stand back. You'll stand down. Okay, the point I just want to make is that this is also a very interesting topic about Bitseisim and Mitzrayim, Bitseisim and Yerushalayim. It's not a coincidence that both of them are centrally sourced and rooted in the word Ma. Ma Nishtano verse Al-Ma of the Haaretz. And it doesn't hurt, as we mentioned, is how many kinnas are there? 45 kinnas. How many lines are there in the first kinnah? The first kinnah, Shavas, Suri Meni, 45 lines. How many times does Hashem's name appear in Echa? 45 times. You see that the number 45 is a very significant number in kinnahs. And obviously it has something to do with the word Allah of the Haaretz. And Pesach also, Ma Nishtana. And here you have a Radak that Mamish puts the nail in the coffin. The Radak over here magnifies. You see that it goes both ways. All right, let us stop over here with Pasuk Chav Dalet.